Blog Talk Radio. Hi, Leo. It's Matt. Are you on the line?
Yes, Matt. I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for making this happen. You know, post keynote and Friday and usual craziness. Really appreciate this.
No problem. I'm in the mode now. I've been geared up all morning for the speech, so I'm ready to keep going.
Nice. That's awesome. Keep the adrenaline going. Well, we'll make this short and sweet.
Yeah.
So we have our, you know, original questions, but I'm going to tweak them a little bit. And again, we're going to turn this into a written Q&A that I'll send along to you, you know, for approval and through your public affairs team. But obviously, since you guys unveiled earlier in June your task force kind of recommendations, the report on June 5th, the questions might change a little bit, but obviously you know what you're talking about because you were probably just talking about it a few minutes ago, just FYI.
Yep. Yeah, and we testified to Congress last week, so we're pretty good idea what kind of questions are floating around.
Yeah, it's all the basic stuff. So we're going to start at the top. So the first question is, you know, tell us about your role as acting Chief Information Security Officer for HHS, just kind of a high-level take.
Sure. Well, actually, right now I'm the Senior Advisor for Healthcare Public Health Sector Cybersecurity. That role was essentially demanded by the Congress that the agency identify a senior official who would be the responsible official for cybersecurity, and the deputy secretary was identified as that official, but the actual activity associated with that was delegated to myself. At the time, I was the acting CISO. So as I became the senior advisor to take on this externally focused cybersecurity work, I went to be the deputy CISO because you cannot do this kind of external work and manage a FISMIS cybersecurity program for an entity the size of HHS is just impossible. And the CISO is now Chris Woloshin, and he and I have developed a very strong partnership that's going to take the agency capabilities, that formidable capabilities that have been built up over time, and make them available through the HKIC and the other activities that I'm directing as the senior advisor to the sector as a whole.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm just perfect. That's a great answer right there. So, you know, I'm looking at my next question. This was from a while back. You know, tell us about some of the most significant cyber challenges when it comes to healthcare. And maybe if we instead skip that, because I think we're going to talk about that when it comes to your task force report. So let's jump to the task force recommendations that came out on June 5th. I would say tell us a little bit of background, how this came about, and then we'll talk about the results of the report, if that works.
Sure. So the task force was called into existence by the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act of 2015, which asked the agency or told the agency to pull together an industry-led group that would evaluate the state of cybersecurity and make recommendations. And the HHS did that through the Assistant Secretary of Preparedness and Response, which is the organization that has responsibility for the all hazards emergency response, and the information protection programs, the critical infrastructure protection program that is run by DHS. So they called and convened this task force under the chairmanship of Emory Chulak, who is the CISO of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and it was majority industry. It was more than 85% participation by industry and less than 15% by government, and that was very much by design on the part of HHS. It was common practice in the past when the Congress would ask for something like this, the government would get together and spend 8 months and put out a white paper and hand it to industry and say, there's our view, take it or leave it, that sort of thing. This was a very, very different effort, and it was all about collaboration and soliciting response and interaction. And what you're seeing in the recommendations are the recommendations of industry, both to itself and to HHS. A large number of recommendations, we are just beginning to evaluate them now. We have to determine which are the ones that we can do, which are the ones that industry should do, which are the ones that trade associations might do. How are we going to divide up this work? And more importantly, how are we going to keep it going? Because I think the task force report is a tremendous step forward in laying out a perspective of what is wrong and where we need to go. But the task of going there is something that's going to have to be just as collaborative as the effort that produced the report.
That's perfect. That's awesome. Now let's jump right in. And if you don't mind, tell us about the I guess I think there were six overarching imperatives. Just a quick little run through about these six imperatives, and from my research, they seem very important. Very important.
I've got it. You know what? I have to tell you, I don't have a cheat sheet with the imperatives in front of me.
No worries. I can cheat on that and drop that into the Q&A. So I would say, how about more? The answer should be, you know, I guess you don't have to go through each imperative because I can certainly pull that from the report. But I guess more of like your take on why this is so important, like these certain areas. Just, I guess, more of a strategic take on the outcomes, if that makes sense.
So if you could tee me up with an imperative, I can give you a quick summary of it. I just can't recall them all offhand.
No worries. You know, I think
the only guy who can do that is Emery.
Number four, increase healthcare industry readiness through cyber awareness and education. I think that probably is a pretty good one.
Yeah, so that's an imperative that I think the industry itself wants support on and has to address across the board. There is a very big disparity in the healthcare sector between the more mature organizations, and these are largely the payer organizations, the people who have money, the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies. They have a strong awareness and have had very robust security programs for a long time. The rest of the sector was introduced to IT technology only in the past several years in a large way, and mostly because the government paid the healthcare sector to computerize its data. So the awareness of what that means is a big challenge downstream into the smaller organizations that never really thought of themselves as IT-centric in any way. And as some of our colleagues this morning were saying, at the clinical level, paper records are easier to manage and more secure than electronic records. So awareness of what cybersecurity means is something that's going to have to be tailored to the different capabilities and experiences and business needs of the sector. It's not a one-size-fit-all. And on that side, we on the government side, through HHS, we've organized ourselves to create what we call the HCIC, or Healthcare Cybersecurity Communications and Integration Center. One of its key functions is to be able to assist with that type of education and awareness with material, with backup material, with guidance, with do-it-yourself approaches to reach out to the parts of the sector that for whom cybersecurity is even newer than IT itself.
Perfect. And you know what? Let's wrap this up kind of with like a future forward thinking question. You know, based on, you know, the task force recommendations and based on the reality we all know. Like, I mean, cyber is an issue for everything. Very, very, especially when it comes to healthcare stuff. You know, looking forward into the future, do you think this is something that is going to, like, we're going to overcome this? You know, I see it on the DOD side. There's always nefarious characters out there that are going to hack into our systems. Do you think at some point on the healthcare side, or is this going to be an ongoing challenge? Like, how can we beat the bad guys, I guess, if you will?
Right. So, I mean, the core thing that we have to face, and the security professionals, we've known this for a long time, is that the IT systems that we're using are vulnerable and will continue to be vulnerable because they have two contrary imperatives, one of which is to make data available, and the other of which is to preserve confidentiality and integrity. And these two things work at cross purposes inherently. So I don't see any basis to expect that there's a magic bullet, a technological magic bullet. What there is the ability to shift the focus of what we're doing and how we do it from the respond and recover component of this is the cybersecurity framework I'm talking about now. Most organizations, at best, are in a respond and recover mode, a reactive mode and get back into business mode. What we need to do over time is move into the identify, detect and protect, and contain. The big thing is we have to assume we are going to continuously be fighting presence of malicious actors in our environments. We need to learn how to contain those things. And we need to have capabilities developed that will speed the containment and speed the detection much the way we evolved over time the concept of fire protection to develop alerting systems, communications, alarming systems, fire departments that bring capabilities to bear so that we don't all build our own fire trucks. All these sorts of things will strengthen the resilience, and I think that's going to be the key word in the future, our resilience. We have to be able to absorb these attacks. If that's kind of a military concept as well, you assume the enemy is going to shoot at you. You assume you're going to get hit. Can you absorb it, recover, and move on? And that's going to be the model we have to build in. The cybersecurity framework from NIST and the work that's being done around that as follow-on from the task force report is going to be critical to develop the real nuts and bolts of how we will do that into the future. But that's going to be the name of the game.
Perfect. Leo, I think we're good. I got plenty to work with here to slice and dice and turn it into a written Q&A. I'll transcribe this, and sometime next week we'll clean it up, you know, kind of like a Rolling Stone magazine Q&A. You maybe clean it up a little bit, and then we'll send it on to you. And I appreciate your time, especially coming off of a keynote to do this. This was awesome.
My pleasure, Matt. Anytime.
All right. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Take care. Thanks, man. Bye.